Hate has 4 letters, but so does love. Enemies have 7 letters, but so does friends. Liars have 5 letters, but so does truth. Failure has 7 letters, but so does success. Cry has 3 letters, but so does joy. And negativity has 10 letters, but so does positivity. You always have a choice, so choose the better side. That's the title from a sermon. Choose the better side. Even thought, Passover is still several months away. It will be here sooner than we might think. Especially during the time until Passover, we must examine ourselves to see if we are worthy of God's promise of eternal life. But what can we do? What can we do? One more thing from the internet. With money, you can buy a house, but not a home. A watch, but no time. You can buy a bed, but not sleep. You can buy a book or even a Bible, but not knowledge or understanding. You can buy a doctor, but not health. A position, but not respect. You can buy blood, but not life, or a life insurance, but not life. People spend a lot of money on various things. A lot of money on insurance of all kinds. Insurance is a big business. Insurance companies have anonymous financial resources at their disposal, but they are not prepared to distribute any sums of money to people without certain conditions being met. As true Christians, we have a different kind of life insurance. Instead of money, we are being given eternal life. The life insurance given by God comes with an absolutely guarantee to eternal life. People put a lot of effort into fulfilling the conditions of physical life insurance. But most people in this world believe that they can get life insurance from God without fulfilling first his conditions. But if, as a Christian, you do not fulfill God's requirements, the only guarantee you have is an eternal death. We go to Romans, to the first scripture, Romans 3, verse 23. Romans 3, verse 23. From the Amplified Bible. Since all have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God. Go to the next scripture, Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, how do we receive the protections from death that God offers? First, God must call us. This world is a cut off from God, and no one can find access to him unless God specifically intervenes in a person's life. John 6, verse 44. John 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Next, the few who are called must believe what Jesus Christ says and believe his message about the kingdom of God. The believers therefore must repent of his sins and be baptized. Mark 16, verses 16. We go to Mark 16 and read verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Go to the next scripture, Acts 2, verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." To repent, or even better, to change our ways, means that we examine ourselves according to God's criteria and recognize our sins, that we feel deep and true remorse because we have transgressed God's law, and then decide to live according to every word of God. To live according to every word of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by the bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Repentance means that we turn away from the way the rest of humanity lives, turn away from our wrong ways, and follow the way that God expects of us. God actually grants us repentance. We go to Romans 2, verse 4. Romans 2, verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. We go back to Galatians 2 and read verse 20. Galatians 2, and we read verse 20. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the, correct, of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. We accept his sacrifice for our sins. After baptism, we rise from a watery grave. God's through ministry lay their hands on us, and God give us his Holy Spirit. Acts 19, verse 6. Acts 19. And we read verse 6. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. It is God's Spirit in us that activates our insurance coverage, so to speak. We go to Ephesians chapter 1, and we read 13 to 14. Ephesians 1, and start with 13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until redemption of the purchased possessions to the praise of his glory. Eternal life is now guaranteed to us. Now we wait for the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, and we start with 50. Now, this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put immortality, then shall be brought to the pass and saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. But it's not quite that simple. Just waiting for the resurrections? That's not it. Constant examination is required. Can you leave God's way and still be saved? If you don't repent and continue on the wrong path, no, absolutely not. Baptism and receiving the Spirit of God are only the beginning of the process of repentance. Even after baptism, we are not perfect. We have only received a small portion, the seed of the Spirit. We are not perfect. Like Christ, we must struggle. We can still stumble and sin, thereby incurring the death penalty for transgression God's law. But we have begun a lifelong process of overcoming. We must constantly repent of our sins and ask God for forgiveness. But we have begun a lifelong process of overcoming. We must constantly repent of our sins and ask God for forgiveness. The more we overcome our carnal nature, the more God gives us of his Spirit, which enables us to think and act more like God. Ultimately, we are to grow up into a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then we will be ready to be born into a family of God and the return of Jesus Christ. But persons can fail in the spiritual growth. They can become spiritually weak and no longer be able to pass the spiritual test. God wants to protect us from this. He wants us to measure spiritually so that we are qualified for the kingdom of God. God has begun to work with us, and he wants us to persevere to the end, to ensure that we measure spiritually. God requires us to renew our covenant of baptism every year at Passover. But before Passover, we must examine ourselves for sin and evaluate our spiritual condition. We must recommit ourselves to becoming like Christ. We are called to glorify God in our bodies. We go back to 1 Corinthians 6 and we read 20. First Corinthians 6, verse 20. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body. To do this, we must examine how we use the parts of our body spiritually. The Bible speaks of how we use our eyes, ears, mouth, mind, hearts, hands, and feet. As we are getting closer to Passover, we should make sure that we are maintaining the assurance that God gives us through His Spirit by examining ourselves to see how we use these different members spiritually. If we do this honestly, we may discover hidden conditions that need to be removed for our spiritual survival. Let's start with the eyes. Although not particularly large, our eyes are more complicated than a camera. The eye is our most important sensory organ. Its capabilities are unique. It is responsible for recognizing colors, shapes, and movements, for storing memories in the form of image, for spatial orientation, and for recognizing situations and people. But how we use our eyes? For the glory of God, most people are blinded by Satan and cannot see the truth of God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 4. From the NIV Bible. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel and display the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Therefore, their eyes keep them in spiritual blindness by seeing only false knowledge. We must not use our eyes in this way. Let us think for a moment about all many things we can focus our eyes on. For example, the eyes can serve to arouse desire. 1 John 2, verse 16. 1 John 2, and we read 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Just think of the effects that pornography or commercials have on people? Do we see material things that we would like to have and start to desire them? David said in Psalm 101, verse 3. Go to the Old Testament, Psalm 101, and we read verse 3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Rather, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck me feet out of the net. Psalm 25, verse 15. Is that our attitude? We must discipline ourselves to turn our eyes away from what harms us. Matthew 18, verse 9. Matthew 18, verse 9. And if your eyes cause you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than you having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. This is, of course, a metaphor and shall not be taken literally. It is a warning to encourage us to use our eyes properly. We must stop seeing things that prevent us from organizing and living God's truth. Let us think of the countless good uses of our eyes. Let us look at the others with compassion, like a Samaritan in Luke 10, verse 33. Luke 10, verse 33. Excuse me. But a certain Samaritan, as he turned, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Let us consider the Word of God through daily Bible study. Let us observe world events which are heading toward the end of Satan's reign on earth. We can put exclamation mark and a question mark here. Luke 21, verse 36. Luke 21, verse 36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Let us look to God and hope for his mercy and his coming kingdom. Psalm 123. Psalm 123. Verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of the maid to the hand of his mistress, of her mistress, so your eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy on us. What enters your eyes, like light or darkness? With that was have ticked off the eyes. Through our eyes we received verbal communication. Unfortunately, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Ephesians 2, verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of the disobedience. And he penetrates our minds by influencing the words that other speaks to us. These false and evil words are more deadly than the venom of a snake. They often aim to destroy a person, reputation, or impart false knowledge. That is why we must carefully examine everything we hear. Therefore, take heed how you fear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. Just because something is said does not mean it is true. All too often, people with false motives twist the truth and cause irreparable damage. Proverbs 26, and we read 24 and 25. Proverbs 26, and start with 24. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit with himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. When we know that someone is trying to mislead us or destroy someone else's reputation, we simply must stop listening to them. We go to Psalm 26 and we read 4. Psalm 26 and we read verse 4. This time also from the NIV. I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate it with hypocrites. We go to back to Proverbs 19 and we read 27. Proverbs 19. Verse 27. She is listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. And when we don't listen to these people, they get upset or even angry and may do wrong things. So let's say we don't want to get involved in such conversation. But let's remember that there are things we need to hear in order to grow in God's way. The seed that has been planted in us needs water. Proverbs 22, verse 17. Proverbs 22, verse 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. We must open our eyes, our ears to God's rebuke. Proverbs 3, and we read 11 and 12. Proverbs 3, verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Let us remember to be humble when we listen to others. Do we listen attentively to sermons or to the ministry? Do we put what we hear into practice personally? Through our mouth, we feed ourselves and can communicate with others, which are important and enjoyable activities. But through the influence of Satan, man uses his mouth wrongly. Even thought the kingdom of God is much more than eating and drinking. Romans 14, verse 17. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We must take care of the body that God has given us. 1 Corinthians 6, and we read 19 and 20. First Corinthians 6, and we start with 19. Or do you not know that your body is temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In addition to responsibility to eat the right foods, it is our duty to use our tongue properly. The tongue is one of the most difficult parts of the body to control. You can hear. James 3, verse 5 to 8. James 3, and we start with 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So, how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. Verse 7. For every kind of beasts and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. In numerous passages, we are admonished to use our tongue with caution, especially when it comes to useless talk or hearsay. Proverbs 17, verse 9. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He who covers as a transgressor seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Are we guilty of spreading rumors? What about slander, broken promises, lies, defamation of authorities? Let's look at a few Bible passages. Psalm 15, verse 1 to 4. Psalm 15, and we start with verse 1. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? That's a good question. Here's the answer. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. We go back to Proverbs 6 and we read 16 to 19. Proverbs 6 and we start with 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. We go to 2 Peter 2. Second Peter 2, and we start with 2 and read to 11. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destructions does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned it to destructions, making them example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walked according to the flesh in the lust of the uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before Lord. Talking too much can also get us into trouble. Proverbs 10, verse 19. Proverbs 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Go to the New Testament, Matthew 12, and we read 36 and 37. Matthew 12, and we start with 36. But I say to you that whoever idle word man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of the judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. With the help of God's Spirit, we must learn to use our tongue as a tool to inform, encourage, and sometimes correct others. There is a right time and a right way to speak. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 7. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 7. A time to tear, a time to sue, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Proverbs 25, verse 11. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word filthily spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. The mind is the most amazing and powerful mechanism in the body. It is the source of thought that determines our actions. Both thought and actions must be shaped according to the will of God. This is not easy, because the carnal mind, which is under the influence of Satan, is fully of hostility toward God and resists his law. Romans 8, verse 7. Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. We can have the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8, verse 5. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We must apply God's law in our lives. It does not have to seem impossible to overcome our carnal nature if we pray, fast, meditate, and study God's Word regularly. If we do not actively use the Spirit of God, we become weak and can no longer control ourselves properly. Before and during the upcoming Passover season, we must examine ourselves to see how abundantly we bear the fruit of the Spirit as opposed to the works of the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 19. Galatians 5, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such is there no law. All our thoughts must be brought into captivity to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The heart is the strongest muscle in the body. Without its activity, life would come to a standstill. What significance does the heart have in the Bible? It is the source of our attitudes. The carnal heart produces evil thoughts, desires, pride, foolishness, and deceit. Mark 7, and we read 21. Mark 7, and we start with 21. Mark 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of the man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and the evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within to defile a man. Therefore, a change of heart is necessary. We've come through repentance and baptism. Jeremiah 4, verse 4. Jeremiah 4, verse 4. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away for the foreskins of your hearts. You men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. But our hearts can develop problems after baptism. We can suffer a spiritual heart attack if we allow false attitudes to develop under the influence of Satan. We must be sure that we love God with all our hearts. Mark 12, verse 30. Mark 12. And we read verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Do we put him first in our lives? Are we receptive to his will? Let us view our trials positively. Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Let us examine our attitude toward other people. Do we love our brethren, neighbors, and friends with a pure heart? Or do we only pretend to care about them because we are seeking vain glory? 1 Peter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter 1, First Peter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. How good are we at forgiving others? This is a good test of our attitude. God's forgiveness for us depends on our forgiveness for others. Matthew 6, verse 14. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Our hearts should be gentle and express forgiveness instead of resentment. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God is in Christ forgave you. Hands are there to do the work of the body by holding, moving, and using objects. Without our hands, our ability to write, build, plant, eat, and play would be severely limited. It is not unusual for God to use the hand as a symbol of work. Proverbs 10, verse 2. Proverbs 10, verse 2. Proverbs 10, verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. This verse emphasizes the necessity of hard work. Too many fail because they are lazy. Paul even had to admonish Christians to overcome their unwillingness to work. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 11 and 12. 2 Thessalonians 3, and we start with 11 and 12. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in this orderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. We must examine our work habits to see if they are blessing to God. We should put our whole heart into everything we do. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9, and we read 10. Verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave. Where are you going? We should also share our productivity and help others when we are able to do so. Proverbs 3, verse 27. Proverbs 3, verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. When it's in the power of your hands to do so. Of course, there's a limit to what each person can give. But giving is the highest goal of a Christian life and should be our first consideration in all circumstances. Our feet from a biblically perspective are the principles we live by, the goals we want to achieve. David said in Psalm 119, verse 105, Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, and the light to my path." God's love should guide us in everything we do. Let us think about where we want to go in our lives and not wander aimlessly. Let us examine the goals we have now. Do they lead us to the kingdom of God? Matthew 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33 tells us what our first priorities are. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Let us set spiritual goals in areas such as personal growth, service in the church and to others, and in the family, in order to develop a godly character. We must renew the Holy Spirit that God has given us day by day. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet an inward man is being renewed day by day." Let's make this an important goal. Have we passed the test? Do we receive the seal, as with a Department of Motor Vehicles? As we can see, there are many things we need to examine shortly before Passover. the spiritual test we must pass to qualify for God's life insurance is often very painful because we are fighting against Satan, his world, and our carnal nature. But let us remember that in our struggle against sin, we have not yet resisted to the point of shedding our blood. Hebrews 12, verse 4. Hebrews 12, and we read verse 4. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. This is an important statement that we should contemplate. We have high priest who shed his blood to overcome the penalty of sin for all mankind. Receiving the symbols of Christ's shed blood and broken body is a great event. Let us be careful not to celebrate this feast unworthily. Let us be honest with ourselves. Let us admit our mistakes. Let us resolve to overcome them. God the Father has chosen us for his service. So let us strive and do everything possible to renew the covenant in order to attain eternal life. Let us recognize the blemishes and damage in our characters, then use the power of God's Spirit to remove them and grow toward perfection. Let us read the last scripture, Matthew 5, verse 48. Matthew 5, verse 48. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. As we work toward this goal, we prepare ourselves for being born into the kingdom of God as we're children of God.